Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a new episode of Watching Stuff. We are continuing our X-Men rewatch series, and we have finally landed on X3, The Last Stand. So buckle up, because this is going to be a fun one.
We're like the last shit, am I right?
Hey!
All right,
where's the outro? That's enough.
I am one of your hosts, as always, Monty Moore, and joined by both Aaron, Alice, and Dusty. Guys, are you ready?
No.
I'm being honest with you, man. I went into this movie thinking, listen, I like the Eternals. Like, maybe this is one I'll revisit. Because my hopes were so high, right? We talked about X2 last week. X2 is so good. I think I went into this like too high. I'd only ever seen this one time. So I was opening it in a theater. I've never revisited it. Maybe I'll come back to this and like I'll be excited about it. I'm not. This movie sucks. This movie is real bad.
I don't think it's that bad.
For inexplicable reasons. Like,
I don't think it's that bad.
We just saw a little uncanny valley Professor X and Magneto.
Okay, that is bad. That was a horrible way to start this movie, is the aging. But
it was too jarring for that to be like the first thing that we see.
Right.
Yeah, in full daylight. You got to put him in shadows, man. Put him in shadows.
It should be overcast or something.
That was like, I was so excited to watch this. And then this first scene opened, and as soon as I saw Professor X's face, like, this is going to be bad. There's no way this movie can be good now.
Oh, no.
This is how we open? This is what they choose to show us?
I still don't think it's that bad, and we'll talk about it. But
you have to agree it's easily the worst of the three.
You are coming off of watching Wolverine Origins. Your view is tainted right now.
I know. Yeah. I did, because my boyfriend's going to be out of town next week when we record Origins, Wolverine, whatever the fuck it's called. And so we watched it tonight right before this. So yes, this movie does seem even better, but I do still think it, like, I was probably leaning that it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it's as bad as I thought it was when I first watched it.
Okay.
I'll say that.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I was expecting it to be worse, I think, but it was exactly how I remembered it.
Yeah. I mean, this was their
first. I mean, not because my memory, but you know,
this was their first attempt at, you know, doing the Dark Phoenix storyline. It didn't end like they didn't execute it very well. My biggest complaint with it, as someone that read a lot of X-Men comics, was I don't like that they made the Phoenix, it was not like a cosmic entity like it is in the comic. They made it like she has mental illness instead.
Yeah, no, they it's dark. It's Dark Phoenix because her alter, like her hidden repressed memory is Phoenix, and sometimes her eyes get dark. That's the extent of the Dark Phoenix.
Before I respond to that, I do want to mention that the little kid that is like what the senator's son is the kid from the dodgeball video.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, like he's the in the black and white
Warren Worthington
area. Yeah.
Oh, it is
little Timmy or whatever in the 5 D's of dodgeball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I googled it because I was like, I know this kid. Who the hell is this kid? But that was my big question, was like, what is Dark Phoenix in the comics versus whatever the fuck this
Not
is?
This.
It's okay. Not this.
Because I didn't understand why either. Like, I think there was a lot of why is she the way that she is? Why did she kill Scott? Because, like, I don't understand her motive for any fucking thing that she does.
Neither did the writers.
There's nothing. And it, as evidenced by the final fight scene, she literally stands there. You don't see her.
Right.
She doesn't do anything. She's just like there. She's
like
hanging
she's
out.
She's throwing a tantrum.
Like the overseer. She's not doing anything until the very end.
She's just there turning everyone into ash.
Well, and part of that is like, if you're
very
trying to
Thanos-esque.
I think if you're trying to make an X-Men movie, which you've got like this, and you're trying to put, you can't put another story around that. And you've got Dark Phoenix is so, that has to be the story. That has to be the only story that goes around, because if you're going around a battle, Dark Phoenix is so powerful, she would destroy everyone in 2 seconds. That's not interesting.
Right.
You have to do that story. You can't fit a version of what you believe that character is in the framework of another story, because she's too powerful and you can't do that.
Yeah.
Right.
And they just were like, oh, Dark Phoenix, people like Dark Phoenix. What if it's just Jean Grey, but like she's kind of crazy?
What if she's emo?
We'll just do that. Yeah. What if we gave the wig here from X2 and we just gave it? What if we did that too? Could that be something we could do? And they did that.
I like, I mean, the best that's ever been adapted from the comic is definitely the 90s cartoon. Like the X-Men animated series, they did like a Dark Phoenix saga in that. It was like 8 episodes long.
Yeah.
Or something. It was like 8 episodes. Like,
so they built it out.
They did it right. They told the story the way it should be. And again, you can't do it that well in a movie, but it is a great storyline or a movie because they were building towards this for 3 movies now. Like they dropped tiny little hints in the first 2 movies, but just not enough where, like Dusty said, that should have been the main story.
It has to be. Like right. you have to commit to that. You have to know what it is to do that. You can't fit it in.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
It is cool that we finally see the danger room, though. That is one positive in this movie.
Like, best scene of the movie.
Yeah, I was waiting for 2 movies because, like, again, as someone that reads the comics, like they're always in the fucking danger room, and in the cartoon, they're always in the danger room. And having sat through two movies of them not even showing it, it's cool they finally show it and we get like it in a 2-minute scene.
And it is a good like scene, like this is like. Because the CGI does get a little rough at parts, but again, it is like 2005, I think. So like, the CGI in like this scene is like the best, like the effects, I think, in general, partially because it looks like they use a lot of like real effects instead of CGI, with obviously a lot of what happens with Dark Phoenix has to be CGI, because obviously you can't, I don't know how you fake people turning into dust, but.
No, they really did that.
I got some ideas. A bunch
of people died. but my first note after the kid I said is that the kid from the dodgeball video was everyone got new haircuts again.
It's yeah, so well, now,
exciting. Yeah, yes, like
Storm.
Like, Logan's hair is poofier. Storm got a nice cut. Like, yeah, I love that every fucking movie they all have drastically different hairstyles.
not Professor X.
No, he.
It's shinier. They smoothed it out with the CGI. Did you forget?
Yeah, the de-aging. There's less
real. They give him like a mullet.
Some wisps in the back of his head. Logan's got a cool look in this one. I will say Logan's got a cool look.
Yeah.
We get emo Scott Summers.
Yep.
He looks real hot with that scruff, though.
Woo. Oh, my gosh. He's always emo. And then in this one, they kill him off early enough that it's fine. Like, I don't have to see
him and Mystique. Yeah. Like, I think they just didn't want to pay them. Because they're.
That's what I was wondering.
Mystique goes out the most sad ever.
They gave Mystique the worst looking wig I've ever seen in my life.
Ever.
Like, yeah. Here's a black mop. Just throw that on your head. Here you go.
I think Rebecca Romijn was like, I don't want to do 8 hours of fucking makeup anymore. Please give me 2 scenes where I have to dress up and then just like,
yeah, because literally she doesn't really do anything in here.
I'll do 1 day in the makeup chair. Whatever you can do in that day with my character, you are free to do. But after that,
she steals the files off screen. There's like, oh, she took these. Oh, okay.
I think what, like, that's part of, I think, my issue with this movie is you've introduced us to all of these characters and then pull them out of this movie. You lose Scott, you lose Mystique, and you lose Rogue. Like, none of them are a part of this.
But suddenly they have to care about Kitty Pryde for some
reason. Right. Yeah, out of nowhere.
Who is on the third actress.
And they've done, like, right. Even like, in this all movie, right. Even and, like, in this movie, this they've done nothing with her. They don't make you care about her at all in this movie. It's ridiculous.
She's in it to be like a dramatic love triangle, essentially.
They even have, which was
so stupid anyways.
They had the wildest thing to me. Rogue and Bobby have a thing where she's like, I can't even touch my boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. And then at Professor X funeral, he like holds Kitty Pryde's hand. And it's like 5 minutes after they have this conversation. Yeah. Like, Dude, come on.
Like, you're no right. Like, you know what? You're right. Rogue is
sitting right next to you. What are we doing?
I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny when he's like, have I ever pressured you? And she's like, your mind's only on one thing. And he doesn't like refute that.
Like, yeah, you know. Like, you got me there.
I was just trying to hit.
Well, I also love that, like, so Kitty saves, his name's Bobby, right?
Yeah.
She saves Bobby in the danger room. And like Rogue like looks all bitter at it. It's like, what was she supposed to do? Let him die?
Colossus
like,
touched her head. Listen,
yeah, come on.
Anything goes in the danger room, man.
Right.
What happens in the danger room stays in the danger room.
Right. Just ridiculous. And I think like I'm genuinely like they have an entire movie dedicated to Rogue, like being a part of this, and then they take her out of it. I don't know if there was a scheduling conflict or something.
I mean, they do kind of complete her quote unquote arc though, because remember the first movie was about her and Magneto, because they're the only like those are the two characters. The first one was about, she kind of was sidelined in the second one, and then now like her story's coming full circle where she's like tired of not being able to like.
Feel like another like. Anna Paquin had like 2 days.
Yeah,
right.
I've got 2 days on set. Like she is barely in this movie.
Yeah. I just feel like it was handled very oddly. It felt very much like they don't have her on set. We got to work this in.
The whole Cure element is like, it wouldn't have as much weight if there weren't at least one actual member of the X-Men considering it. Like it makes the most sense.
Rogue makes the most sense given the first two movies, but
it's just not executed well. Like
it doesn't
it should have weight because there's a member of the X-Men deciding, but it really
she has the conversation with Logan at the mansion where he's like, I'm not your father, friend. Don't do this for a dude. And and then she's out the door. And the next time you see her, she's like getting off a bus at the place. We don't have like any more internal conflict. We don't have any like wrestling with these things on the way. It's I'm walking out. I had this conversation with Logan. We assume that's where she's going, even though like she's supposed to be conflicted based on what Logan told her. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, she's off the bus. Oh, she's getting the shot. Like,
right. Yeah,
there's no room for feelings.
Right. Just a very lazy way of handling it. Like, yeah, like I do wonder if she had a scheduling conflict and they're like, well, we can't just not have her be in this movie. And they were like, we'll do this. Same with like, again, James Marsden. Like I understand kind of, and like, but like you're killing him off within the first 5 minutes and you're just like, okay, then we get rid of Mystique. It just is very odd that they like three huge characters are pulled out of this and we have to care about these other ones. I think is the worst part about this movie is like, you're shoving these characters that we don't give a shit about in our face.
Which is funny, at the end, it's like the X-Men are outnumbered in the fight against Magneto. They've got six, which is one they've had in the past. In the past, they've had four, but like two of your main ones are gone. So you now have these like
shit, like kids, quote unquote kids. I don't know.
Well, I'm like, Bobby, who's like barely filled out that we saw from the last movie. Like he's a non-character here. We just know him from the previous movie, Iceman. We've got Kitty Pryde, who we don't know. We've got Colossus, who has said five words between the two movies. Like, and also they send two dudes whose powers revolve entirely around metal to fight Magneto. That's two of your six, and Magneto doesn't do anything about it.
Well, he kind of shoos Wolverine away in the forest.
Briefly,
at the end battle, I'm like, feel like if I'm Magneto, the second I sense him, because he says he can sense him, I would have yeeted him into the fucking ocean. Like,
there's a story run in the comics where he actually takes all the adamantium out of Wolverine's body.
Jesus.
Like, they could have done that or something like that in this.
Right. And have him pinned up against something for, like, he waits.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
You know what? Getting
into your personal
desires. Take a shirt off. Okay, take a shirt off.
Well, his shirt gets ripped off at the end, but sadly,
he's wearing chainmail underwear.
Those pants were incredible. Phoenix ripped off his entire shirt, but his pants didn't move at all. I was really disappointed.
Him and Bruce Banner go to the same tailor.
Indestructible pants.
Yeah.
He's got a condition. I like that scene where they're marching, where he's going after Jean, and like you can see like he's got the adamantium like ribs, where it's like it's just his skin is like getting melted away, and then that's a cool scene.
Because he's the only one that could actually do it, because he starts healing when she's tearing him apart or whatever.
Right.
Did you guys know that this was the most expensive movie ever made when it got made?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What they spend it on, the danger room scene?
210 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
They had like 50 writers just to write the line. Charles always wanted to build bridges. Make sure they got that.
Let me check. Let me check box office.
Yeah, I'm very curious on that.
$210 million.
Yeah, well, and it just like a lot of
$460 million this movie.
Okay,
that's crazy.
I wouldn't have
all in the first weekend.
I guess after after the second movie. Well, I think a lot of this just like there's just weird. I don't know, weird things. What like one thing that drove me crazy is they put Mystique into a semi truck made of fucking metal, and I'm like, did you learn?
Well, what else are they gonna make it out of though?
Anything. Can't make wood. Make it out of plastic. Wood. What's he gonna do about wood? Make it out of wood.
But it's a truck.
He's though. Also traveling with pyro. He just set it on fire.
Yeah.
Glass. Make it out of glass.
Covered wagon. Wait,
are we just doing the Three Little Pigs? Yeah. No. A house of sticks. No. No. Bricks. I think bricks is the way to go. Am I a bricks?
It might be. It might be stone. Just like stone wheels. We're going all the way back.
You got someone up front running like Fred Flintstone like, to power that.
That's literally the Flintstone car.
You got big old dinosaur ribs hanging out the side.
But still, I'm like everyone's like shocked that he breaks into it. It's like, yeah, he has to just like blink and he's like,
he was going to find her eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
We forgot this guy into like, the metal thing. This
bury
sucks.
Her in the ground. Like, I don't know what to say. Like,
I like that we get big bald black guy Trask, and then in a couple movies we get Peter Dinklage Trask.
they're just flying right in between. Like I don't know, man. We don't know what he looks like. We don't remember the comics. We didn't read them.
They're related. Yeah, they're related somehow. Fuck it. I don't care.
So you were there in the writer's room for this movie.
Ben Foster is wasted in this movie as well.
Foster is so good in everything he's in.
Yep.
He does nothing in this movie. What a waste.
Jumps out the window.
He's sad with his abs chained to a chair, which is cool. I'm good with that. That's fine. And he's like, Dad, please don't do this. And then he flies and then he saves his dad without saying anything. Why have him in the movie?
And like you said, his dad wouldn't be that freaked out that his power is just he could fly. That's dope,
right? Like,
he can clearly hide his wings all the time because they have him in like in that little.
I do love he showed up like in the dead of summer in a trench coat that's just bulging out the back. Like, buddy, you're not hiding anything here.
Hey, what you got there, Quasimodo?
Like, I can't wear my backpack on the outside. I always have a backpack on the inside, safer that way.
I like the scene where Magneto, like where they're all talking, it's not just Magneto, but they're all like talking to like forming a union almost like of mutants. And every single person that is a mutant looks like they just walked out of Hot Topic. Like,
this is 2006.
My God. That's like prime. They're all wearing lace and dark and the emo bangs. It's incredible.
Never fades. It's tremendous.
You get Psylocke in this scene for some reason, and she does nothing. Like she just like you just know it's her. She has purple. Yeah, like unless you read the comic, but that's her. She's got purple hair.
Oh, I didn't.
They replaced her with a hedgehog instead. Let's get the guy that hugs one woman. How about him? Would that be cool?
When at the end of the movie, when Magneto is like, oh, we send the pawns first. I'm like, I would think that the Porcupine Man is a pawn. That's a pawn.
I figured they'd have him like lay in the road and like deflate tires or something.
Roll into like, a ball like Sonic. As a spike grip. I like his defense is hugging people. I don't.
He does it to one woman and he's like, come here. And she's like, oh, okay. I guess I'll come in for a hug.
Yeah.
That's the only person he harms.
He does not. His power is he has to get close enough to you to give you a hug.
Hey,
bring it in. No, I'm good, man.
The person he's with is like just using her claps to destroy all the guns, and he's like, does anyone want a hug? Like, what? You guys are. Why are you hanging out with this loser?
Wow, this year is violent. Let's group hug. God damn it! Stop trying to hug everybody.
um I was thinking for sure. I was like, there's got to be some catch to it. Like, yeah, like he can roll into a ball and like just take motherfuckers out.
That,
but no,
that CGI no. would be unreal to watch in this movie.
You guys want to know? You guys want to know what
to give him the loop? To give him the Sonic look loop?
You guys want to know what his name is in the movie?
Oh gosh, what's his name in the movie?
Kid Omega.
Yes,
that's the porcupine.
Omega.
Name. Yeah.
The name, the name,
and in the comic, and in the comic, his name is Quill, which makes way more sense.
That way,
like, what if we use that?
Does he hug people in the comics, or does he have a cool, like? Does he have an extra power?
He's not any more useful in the comic.
No,
a pawn. It's because he's a pawn.
A pawn. I was like sitting there waiting. I was like, he's got to be with the fucking pawn people. Like that's. No fucking way you're wasting other people's power and holding
it like,
back.
And those are people that could like jump long distances and latch onto the bottom of things. Like they had some useful powers in that. They're just running straight at guns. Meanwhile, like Hugman is just like, oh, I'll just, I'm back here with Magneto. I'm with the big dog.
The Embracer.
Get Hug the Embracer.
He's like the guy on the street holding a free hugs poster. He's just hoping that people, so he can look like a badass.
Your quills are peeking out, man. No, I'm not doing that.
You're pre-quilling.
It's so gross.
Like we get Moira McTaggart. They make a big point out of saying her name, and then they show her at the funeral at the end, but they don't do anything with her. There's no reason to have Moira McTaggart.
That is one thing that the new trilogy got way more correct. Like she's actually a big part of the next three movies.
That was one of those oh, is she going to be something in this? No, she's on a TV briefly. She's at Professor X's funeral and they pass by her. She's the kid, she's the kid from Iron Man 3 at Iron Man's funeral is what Moira McTaggart gets in this movie.
I also wish because Leech is a really cool character. Like he's obviously has a very unique mutation. Like he negates other people's mutations. So the fact that they spent so much of the first two movies focused on like genetics and like explaining mutation, like, they should have explained a little more how like eventually that mutation will like self-correct, right? And like now they've evolved to the point where there are mutants that can negate mutant abilities, but they're just kind of like, yeah, let's make a cure out of this kid's blood. That's
right.
That's political.
Well, and Kelsey Grammer, I was really excited to see again.
Yeah, at least we do get Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, yeah. He's really fantastic. Good. I mean, I don't know. I do not know Beast in the comics or any of that, but like I think he is really great.
I think he's great as far as this version of the Beast. Yeah. It is tremendous. Yeah. The fight stuff at the end is cool, but as far as like smart Beast and doing all the sciencey stuff, nails it. The voice is perfect.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he was perfectly cast for sure. I also love, we're about to like see Jean again. And like I said, I don't understand why she kills Scott, like, or Dark Phoenix does. Like I genuinely do not understand that.
It's literally that just she can't control the power. Like that's
They do
bring a huge part from both the comics and the animated series in this, like where she negates his power and she can like actually see his eyes for the first time. Like I remember when that happened in the comic, that was like a huge deal. Like that was super cool. So I was glad they put that in here. That was like a nice little fan service type deal.
And we talked about Cyclops being like a minor character in the first two movies. Like he's in them, but like he's nothing other than like protective, bah, don't touch my girlfriend, all that stuff.
Right.
He gets poochied. He dies on the way back to his
planet.
It's so ridiculous. You see him like kissing Jean, and his eyes go wide, and then his glasses are floating. Like it's so dumb.
Yeah, this is a major character. He dies off screen.
It's so dumb.
Like at least show us how he dies. Like, I think another issue that I have with this movie is coming from also like a female perspective is they hypersexualize her as Dark Phoenix. Like she's the villain. So she's like now like it's like associating like sex with negative things. And that's like a stereotype
she's acting out by trying to bone Wolverine.
Right. Like, like turning her hypersexual. I just don't love that of like, oh, she's, you know, she's a villain because she's like she's making out with Scott, so you know she's bad. She's trying to have sex with Wolverine, so you know she's bad. I just don't love that we like associate sexuality with bad stuff.
Again, hey, 2000 females, 2006. Because that's always
right. It's just a trope, and it's so like watching this again because I don't remember. I didn't feel that way when I was 15, but like watching this again, I was like,
ugh. Well, it's also like we did not mention the director of this is not Singer. Singer got Superman Returns. So this was Brett Ratner.
Brett Ratner. Is,
we'll say not the most progressive of men. He's not. No, he doesn't have quite what Singer's got on him, but like Ratner has a very.
Isn't
very
he the one that like dropped his pants when like Olivia Munn like wrote about him in a book?
That's
like,
that's at least what he did. Yes,
that because yeah. I remember specifically that story. That's what I remember his. Yeah. Him being associated with. So like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But like, yeah, that trope of just like, oh, the villain female is always like a sexual.
Well, they try to explain it too, but the explanation is just like, I built walls in her mind and then she broke them down and now she's like all id basically, right? Like when she slips in, she's all id. It's all like
right
pleasure pain. So they try to explain that with like a one-off, but it's just an old yucky trope
that I'm just that don't like. But
I will also say that was very smart things you said. I will say my dumb thing about the scene. Then they come back and they find Scott. Storm and Wolverine land at Lake Alkali and it's clouds and stuff everywhere. And they walk through the fog for a solid 2 minutes. And then Wolverine's like, hey man, can you clear this up? She's like, sure. Like, why didn't you think about this as soon as
on the way there?
Like before you land before in you the land. Fog.
Because they're like, oh my gosh, it's crazy. You look at all these rocks. You could have seen this earlier.
Right.
you have this power.
One of these floating rocks.
Well, she already did it when Professor X was like, thought it was supposed to be sunny out. Right. Like, he already did it once that day.
I initially thought it was some kind of like supernatural fog. She couldn't do anything about
it. Right. Like she was powerless to change it.
She legitimately forgot until Wolverine was like, clear this up. She's like, oh, yes. Oh, I'm Storm. Yeah, no.
My fault.
My bad. Sorry.
It's a cool visual, though. All the dew floating up and the rocks. Yeah. Like it is a cool visual of the whole
thing. Yeah. And I love, in I think like the next scene when Professor X is talking about. And he says, the only explanation is the telekinetic cocoon. And I'm like, the only? There's no other fucking possible way that this could have happened. He's just like, obviously, this is the only way. Like, okay. Like, let's.
They don't have time for a further conversation. Let's just knock this out and get it out of the way.
I mean, let's be honest.
Let's move ahead. No, nothing to see here.
The term telekinetic cocoon is badass. So they just wanted to throw that in the movie.
For sure. It's just like the only, like he talks to everybody like they're stupid for not knowing that. I'm like,
that's something that
has
been talked about over the past couple of movies is the telekinetic cocoon that we knew that was possible. Of course. Why didn't I think of that?
Right. Duh, you stupid idiots.
We also do get the, like we talked about in our last episode, we talked about if there's a janitor at the X Mansion, we see multiple man in this. So we know it.
Multiple man.
When they free Mystique,
yes. he literally puts his life on the line.
It's McDreamy or McSteamy, one of those. McSteamy from Grey's
Anatomy. Yeah.
He does like he's in the woods and like, oh, they'll come after him. And then he does like the point and wink. He's like, haha, anyone got a drink around here? Whatever.
Right. Like,
they're going to shoot you.
You're dead.
Yeah. Dead. Shoot you. But also like, what a waste. Off
everyone here.
What a waste of his power, too. I feel like
that's the only thing you see him do.
Right. I feel like he would have been real helpful at the end. Like,
they're throwing cars, Aaron. They're throwing cars. They don't need that.
I mean, yeah, he's not necessarily like a.
Anyway, they didn't have
not necessarily
they
like
they didn't have room on the jet. They just had the porcupine guy.
He's not necessarily like a good fighter. He can just multiply himself. So he's pretty much.
If you want pawns. That you want them to aim for while you're distracting them, maybe a whole bunch of pawns you can't kill
from
having multiple and send all of these dudes.
Might be a good idea.
But instead, no, he got shot in the woods by 200 pissed off soldiers. Like that was his end. We didn't see it, but that was his end.
That's what happened, without a doubt.
I will say too, they spend that scene at the end. I know we're jumping around. We always jump around. That scene at the end, they spend a lot of time with that family in the car, right? It's like they're all like, the wife is smiling and everything.
Yeah.
And then like the bridge becomes unmoored and everything. And then there's the whole cute scene with like, she locks the door and Magneto's looking at her and he like smiles. Then they flame every car close.
Yeah, they died
a fiery death. Like real quick.
My favorite part about that bridge scene is Magneto moved the Golden Gate Bridge just so like the Juggernaut didn't have to swim.
Can't swim.
I was like, if you guys are,
that's why they did it.
That's the entire reason.
Also, his suit is like metal. Can't he just like float him over there?
Right. Wouldn't you think too? Like, listen, I had a Juggernaut. You know, do whatever you want with him in this movie because they clearly did whatever they felt like doing. Just have him build up steam and have him like run through the water, like Moses. It's like parting the bay.
You don't even have to explain it.
He's like, they didn't bother with anything else. Yeah.
You could have just not had him say, "I don't know how to swim," and then have them all just show up at the island. Like,
yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. That bridge scene is badass. Like, he moved the fucking Golden Gate Bridge, but the reason he did it was dumb.
Ruined by Magneto, who was just doing his like, he was, Professor X was more of a mutant than you'll ever be, blah blah blah. Then he's like, Charles always wanted to build bridges. Why would you say that?
And also,
you should have looked at the camera when he said it.
I thought a bridge, you moved one. Yeah. Yeah.
Charles always wanted to break bridges and move them to different
places. I was expecting some bridge. I was expecting like, talk about burning bridges. Like,
oh, that would have been way. That would actually make some fucking sense. Well, and it's like, we saw him pull iron out of a guy's veins and walk on them. Like, he could have just picked up a couple of pennies and everyone
and moved them over there. Yeah.
He flattened them out and now we've got mobile moving units and we're good.
So they, like, Halle Berry hadn't signed on for a third movie yet. Like, they hadn't convinced her to come back. She
probably read the script and was like, I don't know, guys.
So the reason she came back is, so they wrote a fake script to have her read part of it.
Oh my God.
Where at the beginning of the movie, they were going to show, like, an African tribe, like, starve, like, not having any water, like, in a drought. And she was going to, like, save them to, like, try to, like, draw her back into it.
Oh, no.
And they were like, well, we can just scrap that scene, though. Like, we're not actually going to use it. one of the original script writers said, like, I'm not coming back for this movie. Like, I'm not going to be part of that. Like, I don't want that to be associated with me. But so then they offered her just an absolute shit ton of money to come back instead.
God. That's a $210 million budget right there.
Yeah.
But again, they don't give her a bunch to do here. She's the leader, which basically means she tells Angel she can live at the mansion. Like, she doesn't do a whole lot in this movie. She doesn't do any more than she did in X2. She's got everyone had a much, much better part in X2 than they do here, but like, she's not any more involved. She's not any more central to the plot. She's just.
Yeah. I mean, they have Xavier say, I want you to take over because Scott's emo now.
But the extent, like, but literally the entire extent of that is they're all standing around going, should we shut down the school? And then Angel comes in and goes, the world's dangerous. I need a place to live. And then she's the one like, I'll take you in. And like, she's a leader. But then she doesn't do anything else.
Right. She just
that's how you know.
School open. She just declares the school open.
She keeps the school open for the children. And then all six adults leave immediately.
Yeah, they're gone. Like,
the last time they all left, by the way, that entire mansion got attacked by an army. Now this time, all of them are leaving
in the night.
One Easter egg that I had is the guy that plays Jean's dad in like that opening scene. He's the voice of Nightcrawler in the cartoon.
Oh, is he?
That's fun.
Yeah. Okay, that was a
question. Where's Nightcrawler?
For me. Yeah, where is Nightcrawler?
Where the hell is Nightcrawler? I forgot about him.
He's at church.
He's just hanging out at the church.
He's with them at the end of X2.
He's in the president's office with them at the end of X2. He's part of the gang. They don't even mention him here. Nope. He never shows up.
Yeah. Do you think he gets the cure?
No.
No.
No, I think he died off screen as well. I don't think he made it.
Right. So one thing that I did not like, I didn't remember it, obviously, when I watched it the first time. But like, I don't love them like curing Magneto. Like, that seems kind of fucked up. Like, taking away another mutant's powers against his will. Like,
well,
that does not seem like, and I understand why they do it, but I'm like, I just wish that they didn't. Like, it was not like Wolverine that fucking did it, because it just feels like kind of icky.
Well, no, I mean, that's what gives it so much weight, is like, that to him, that's the worst thing that could possibly happen to him, especially considering he's like a Holocaust survivor and all that. So like, that is like, it's like a really dark aspect of the story, but there isn't a better character to have their power taken than him, because that to him, it's literally everything.
I have an issue with a mutant being the one to put it in him. I think that is like, I don't know if Wolverine would do that. Like, I don't know. Maybe he would, like, because I understand the gravity of the situation. But I also think that Wolverine would very much hesitate to do that, because it's taking away
someone's power. Well, Beast ended up doing it.
Yeah, Wolverine distracted him because he sensed him.
But still, like, obviously,
he was part of the plot.
Yeah, sorry. Like, they worked together to make that happen. They all knew, and like, nobody hesitated. And I just think I have an issue with that, like, of it being to them. I understand why they did it, but I'm like, ooh, that's like,
I do as well.
We've made like comparisons to like conversion therapy kind of stuff, and it's like,
but that's why they do it. It's supposed to make you feel like that.
Right, which is why, like, I was uncomfortable. I was like, ooh, like, this, I wish this would have not come from a mutant. But I understand that's what makes it so intense. Like,
well, and they also had to, I mean, that's so one of those, extreme. Like, right. If you've got more time, and if this was better written, they have conversations around, like, if it gets to that. Because, I mean, they were agreed. Outnumbered from
that's the all I needed.
They were going to be defeated. If they didn't do this, this was like an impossible task to ask them to do, but you don't get the kind of like the Rogue stuff, right? The Rogue stuff carries no weight because mm-hmm. they don't spend any time with her in this movie.
Right.
Same
right.
thing as this. That scene should be, for all the reasons you just said, Monty, that scene should be powerful for because of who they're doing it to. And they should carry weight because of the conversations that lead up to that in terms of like,
right.
if it comes to this and what does that mean about like our own mutanthood and all of that stuff? Like, how does that affect us? How do we feel about that internal struggles? Instead, it's just, haha, waka waka, stabby, stabby. And then you're done because you don't spend that time.
Well, and like 100% like that. And I think that like, Monty, to your point earlier, is like, there's too much going on with this Dark Phoenix story to be also having this huge cure story going
without much going on with the Dark. They gave short shrift to both of these storylines.
Right. Yeah. Like, and so I think it's really like, you don't really hear like what the X-Men have to say about the cure. Like, they kind of are like they don't really have a position on it. They're kind of neutral of like, I don't know. There's just not like I know there's a couple of conversations about it, but I don't feel like there's this struggle.
They don't
like,
want it. The only conversations is like, they don't want it, but it's like a personal thing. Why would anyone want to take this? And the Rogue's like, I want to take this, but it's personal motivation.
It's not the greater. Right. There's not a, like it being, there's not a discussion about it being used as a weapon. And like to the point of like, is this something you do in an extreme circumstance? Like, there's no right or wrong. Like, they don't talk about whether the idea of this is right or wrong in certain circumstances. And I think that they have one conversation early in the movie about that. And that helps me with that, because I feel like it's just taken like, so like, and I'm like, that was like horrible like, to do to him. And especially like you said, like the gravity of the Holocaust situation, like, I like, it's huge, like a huge moment. And it really made me uncomfortable. And then I remembered, like, because of course I forget everything. I remember the post credit where he like does, or not post credit, at the end of the movie where he
he gets them back.
Yeah. He's getting them back. And I was like, okay, well, that makes me feel way fucking better. But I was like, this is huge. And it's not being treated as like,
he also has a hell of an apology to Mystique. Then he starts getting his power. Yeah. Back, like, oh crap. I left her on the ground naked. Shit. Oh no!
Put like your cape over her, like, for God's sake.
I was gonna say, someone throw her some clothes, dude. If nothing else,
I mean, Multiple Man has a million jackets that he's wearing. Right? Give her one jacket.
Right.
That's it. I mean, at least.
Right. Just take your shirt off. Like, you can take your shirt off. And just give it to her, for God's sake.
That so cocky awkward. Pyro guy, like, he clearly is just wants to show off. Yeah, take your shirt off, dude. Give her your shirt.
Right.
He feels bad about it. Just leaving her naked on the floor of an upturned semi, like,
in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Come on, dude.
What'd you guys think of the badass line of "should have stayed in school"?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
But in that final battle, the absolute best acting job and the best line is the guy whose arms keep growing back, and he's like, "Come on!"
Grow those back.
Then he gets kicked in the nuts.
Well, he says, "Grow those back," and I'm like, "But they weren't cut off."
And also, he probably can. It's probably not just.
He probably can.
Okay, fine. I will.
I have four balls now. What?
Oh, why did you put that image in my head?
I thought he was going to cut his head off, like the first
time. Yeah, that's if it was rated R, that's probably what.
Instead, he happened. Kicked him in the nuts and was like, "Try that on for size," and then he leaves. But like, he can still get up. Now he's behind you. Like, what?
Yeah.
What kind of battle is this
between the guy that just regenerates his arms and the guy that throws bone spikes?
Bone spike guy was kind of cool.
That's kind of badass. That was kind of badass.
Those things, when they were like coming through his arms,
they were hurting. They looked
awful.
That looked
10 times worse than Wolverine's.
It did.
Awful.
They also actually use stealth mode at some point in this fucking movie, where it's like an actual, like, this ship disappears. And I'm like, where the hell was this in the first movie? Instead of, like, you just sneaking up.
But they use it when they're within view of the island already. They turn it on so late. Why'd they do that?
They're right next to the bridge.
They had it on for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Turn that on earlier.
Like, that, like, entire final battle thing is just, like, movies had not yet figured out how. And obviously, it's not on, like, an Infinity War or like even Civil War scale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they had not figured out how do we have all of these characters that people like and they want to see them like all battle each other at the same, because that was like the big battle over the three movies at this point. Mm-hmm.
Magneto even says at a certain point, he goes, "It's time to end this war."
Yeah,
there are like six X-Men and you're on an island. Yeah. It's a skirmish at best. Like, there's no war.
They just had not figured out how to make that work. It's like, I applaud them for trying, but it just was not good. And because, I mean, as bad as this movie had been to that point, like, by the time I was like an hour in, when I saw it in the theater for the first time, I was like, okay, like, this all is going to culminate in a final battle. So maybe that will be dope. And then it wasn't.
It's so messy. It's so dumb. It's so messy. And then the whole time, you forget Jean is there until the end.
Yeah,
right. She's just barely standing there, looking like broody.
And then she just,
like,
then she just floats around, dusting everyone.
But not the good guys, because there's not enough of them for them to do that. So she's just like, kind of getting everyone at that point.
The scene. I mean, we haven't talked about like the heartbreak scene where like Professor X actually dies. Like,
I'm that sorry, whole scene.
It's so dumb.
My favorite part though is when Magneto's like, "Nobody gets inside," and then Juggernaut just throws Wolverine inside.
I had that note too.
Like 2 minutes later.
Throws him like to the next room over from where he's not even supposed to be. Just immediately in the worst possible spot.
Don't let anyone in. What if I force them in through the window?
And let them in now. Okay. That whole scene is like,
yeah, we're just getting to it right now, actually. It's a good time.
He was goading him, goading her. He's like, "You never loved you, Charles, blah, blah, blah."
And
he's
like, you could rip him to shreds. Like, that's pretty much what he's saying.
How was I supposed to know she was going to kill him?
Right.
He's like, you guys watch Cheaters? You're watching Cheaters?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You get Joey Greco up there, and he's always like, how could you do this to her, man? And then he's surprised the one time he gets stabbed, because he's like,
oh, yeah, when he got stabbed, on the boat.
Episodes. That's Magneto. He's like, he can't help you. He's terrible. You could rip him to shreds. Look at you. You're so powerful. Is there
anything that you guys have not watched? Like, anything? Like, probably. How did you guys both know that the guy from Cheaters got fucking stabbed?
How do you not know that?
I didn't know.
Okay, look. Just because we don't have lives is no reason to bring it up.
Look, if you're if you were of a certain age and we're up past 11 p.m., you only had a handful of options to watch.
Yep.
Cheaters, but like I've never seen him get stabbed.
Oh, it's like the episode.
I know.
Look it up. Gets shivved on a boat. It's tremendous.
I had a like his actual death. I laughed. I'm it's so real sorry.
Bad. It's bad.
Him just
why does he smile? Smiling? I guess like okay wait does he
and the way he's just like hanging like a rag doll like it's just
does he
like,
do you think come you think on maybe he
at least
smiles.
Like lift up the whole chair with him to at least like not make it look like he's a fucking
give him a little bit of dignity yeah
maybe he smiles though because he's because they've already talked about like transferring your consciousness to another body like maybe he's smiling because he knows he's doing that in that moment like he knows he's not actually
he's like a
dead.
Frog or something in that moment like he's like oh.
You know, at the end, he gets transferred into the debt into the body in the hospital bed or whatever.
Oh,
so like maybe that's he does that in that moment. That's why he's like, I'm not actually dead. But yeah, it's just weird. They like made him smile first,
right?
It's everything about the scene. Everything about the scene is bad. It's this should be like the moment, the heartbreaking moment of the series. Yeah. As Professor X. If you don't know X-Men, you know Professor X.
Hugh Jackman kills it in this scene, though. He's very good. Yeah, he like he actually seems like he's holy shit. Like, did that just really fucking happen?
Well, and there's like a lot of potential for the scene because like the floating house is really cool. So it like adds this like weird, complicated like
all the visuals scene. Of the stuff floating at the
right.
water boiling
and
when
then
they
the,
walk in.
Like while and then they're trying to fight while the house is like floating and shit. Like there is so much potential for it, and then it's just like it's like with a lot of this movie, there is a lot of potential. In the story and in the plot, but I mean, like we said, I think it needs to be two different movies, two different stories, but then like it just falls flat.
I'm laughing because the season where Storm whirls herself like a whirlwind.
Oh, porcupine.
She can create tornadoes and send them in front of her to fight for her, but instead she spins like a top while tornadoes rage behind her.
Right.
And then she tries to like fight someone hand to hand.
Right. Like oh, what? This fight, why? Her fighting that woman in the end also, she's fighting her right now, is like Storm should be able to kick her ass because that woman specifically said like, there's nobody in that room that's higher than like a class 3.
Yeah.
So that I would assume is including her. And I'm
guessing and Storm
is probably like 4 or 5.
She's one of the smartest mutants.
Yeah, Storm's an Omega level mutant. It's like Storm, Magneto,
like,
Xavier.
She should just be able to kick her ass, and this woman kicks her ass
like she's
makes it
never
very difficult.
Fought someone before. She's like, oh, she can move. She can move fast.
Right,
they can do that.
Right.
What if I just open up a hole in the earth and make it swallow her? I can do that. I can cause an earthquake.
Hey, I'm like this little Hot Topic model is not gonna beat you. Like,
she's a little henna tattoos.
Right. Like, come on.
You get Juggernaut fighting in his little Zardoz, Sean Connery Zardoz outfit with a metal helmet.
I'm so glad like they got Juggernaut right in Deadpool 2 because he was terrible.
It's fun. I'm watching The Gentleman on Netflix, which I've been enjoying. There's like
he's a great actor.
Vinnie Jones is tremendous.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's so good. And then I watch him in this, like, this is not the same guy.
I love him. I love him in Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels. He's
tremendous.
Really good.
He's very good. Yeah. Then you get him in this and he's just like rah, 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 rah. He's kind of like half screaming everything. He's awful.
I do like that they gave some fan service in a meme though with I'm the Juggernaut bitch from the remember that video? Like that's the classic the dub of the X-Men cartoon. Like I can't believe they actually put that in the movie. I was like, no way.
They make such a big deal out of like, don't let him get momentum, which fair. But then Kitty Pryde literally puts him through a floor, and in 2 seconds, he's out. He's like,
he
a juggernaut.
Breaks out of it.
Bust out of this. I don't need momentum. I'm just strong. I was bust out of this. Very poorly handled. Again, none of these are characters. I don't know the names of the Hot Topic ladies. I didn't know Kid Omega until now. Like they're clingers on. Like you don't they're not even characters, but you see them all the time.
And they don't even explore at all how Juggernaut is Xavier's half brother. Like they don't ever bring that up.
Be too much to put into this movie.
Yeah.
He does it now. He dies, and Juggernaut goes, "Oh no, my half brother!
My brother! Well, half."
I'm so sad. My emotions.
Also, the way they make him just like everybody else disintegrates, like they're into dust, they float away. He explodes.
Well, it was personal. It was personal for him.
He's like, it looks like you like that's what would happen if you put a person in a microwave. Like that's what would.
What happens when you give Alka-Seltzer to a seagull? Is my understanding. That's what happened. They can't.
Isn't it rice? Isn't it if a bird eats rice?
But it's also Alka-Seltzer for seagulls as well. It's rice and it's Alka-Seltzer. Yeah, because they can't expel gas.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's true. That's something I heard in like middle school or something.
That's what happened to Professor X, the Founding Fathers. We can't fucking talk about that shit, but we're talking about fucking Alka-Seltzer and seagulls.
Hey, I mean, personally.
Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Personally, the Founding Fathers thing is way weirder than blowing up seagulls.
People on Twitter agree with me. It was a thing.
The seagulls thing is like scientific to some extent, as far as middle school me understands, I guess.
Sorry, mine was history.
Okay,
but what I fucking hate is anybody that listens is not going to understand what
episode died.
It was in the first episode, which was lost to the abyss, so it's just a weird thing that probably everyone thinks I'm fucking insane.
That's fair. Who brought Professor X's chair back and just put it alone in a study? Did he do something else with that?
That's probably a backup. They're like, we're just gonna leave this one here.
I figured they're like, yeah, we need some like. He'll always be like immortalized in his office, right? Like, we'll leave the chair in there.
But then they move it out when they're having the meeting in there.
Right. Like, yeah, they do.
When Angel comes in, it's not there. They put it in there symbolically at the funeral. Then, like, storage.
Melt it down. Yeah, melt it down.
It's a sentinel head for the danger room now. Here we go. Use it to patch Cerebro,
I
guess.
Why the fuck is Logan, like, not at the goddamn funeral? Like, what the fuck?
He's a loner, Dottie.
Yeah, by nature, he's a loner. And the only reason he ever stuck around was because of Xavier. So, like, now that he's gone.
So, you probably should go to his fucking funeral.
He's like,
pretty full. There's not really any chairs open.
Yeah, there's no room in the garden.
No chairs.
There's Bobby holding her hand right next to Rogue. Literally, he's sitting next to her.
What an asshole. Yeah, he's dump his ass.
Rogue's hand. I noticed this last time. He's holding Rogue's hand through gloves, and he reaches out to Kitty. They just had a conversation about this, man.
And his hand holding of Kitty is, like, way, like, more, like, he's, like, stroking her hand, too. Like,
he's literally trying. He's literally trying to empathy his way into a threesome.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Well, one of them just has
Professor
to
X, Professor X died. That's pretty sad, huh?
You want to go ice skating?
What if we all got it on at the same time? It's what he would have wanted.
Yeah, the ice skating scene is so weird. I'm like, where is this cat? Like, where is this mansion located exactly?
New York.
New York.
So she's crying about snow and it's New York. Right, but like she's like, I miss seeing the first snow, and it's like, well.
It must be fall, I guess. Wait, but it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be.
Yeah, just wait for winter. Like, why are you bringing this up when it's like fucking, like, yeah, that's what I was like. Is this in,
well,
like,
but remember, she knows he can make snow and ice.
Right,
so
this is manipulative. This is her.
I heard he can make snow. I heard that. Rogue won't let him, though. You know how it go.
How do you think she got that white streak in her hair?
Talk about a blizzard.
So I know what Aaron is Googling tonight. What does Iceman ejaculate?
I had actually a big crush on him when I watched this movie. I thought he was so
Bobby?
He's definitely mid-2000s
right, that
attractive guy.
It's
like, well, not this one. It was definitely the second one that I thought he was hot.
When I watched
this one, I would have been like 15, 16, and he would have not been my type. But the first one when I was like 13, for sure.
In my mind, he's got frosted tips, and it's shocking to me that he does not. Mm-hmm. It's very weird.
Yeah.
Well, one of them's frosted for sure.
Where's that outro?
That was one of the most disgusting yet funny and cleverest things I've ever said.
Oh, that's awful.
I do love that we've gotten like a different city featured in every movie. Like this one has San Francisco, which is fucking weird that they're just at Alcatraz. Like, okay. I mean, they're like, it was sitting there, we'll just use it.
I do like the plot device where it's like, we're developing the cure here because it's like the most secure place possible, right?
Right.
Because if something goes wrong with what they're testing, that could absolutely go to
like, what are they gonna do? Build a bridge to get out here? Ha ha ha.
What's Metal Man gonna do? Build this bridge 50 feet away?
Fly on metal like he did when he escaped from his prison? I don't think so, pal.
Also, very random that I totally forgot his name. The Full Metal Jacket guy.
The Full Metal Jacket guy.
Is it Arlie Emery or whatever his name is?
Emanato, whatever his name is. Yeah. I'm blanking on his name right now.
But like, they just use his voice. They don't even show him. No. It's just
very... Arlie M. Ermy.
Yeah.
Boy, I was like, way
clearly just a very like,
you just said some like random syllables.
there's a musician called M. Ross Perkins, and that's what I was thinking about him. I think.
Oh, Ross Perot. Yeah, him. Yeah, like he's such a recognizable voice. They just literally have him say like those two lines, and they never. He's not actually in the movie.
The more we talk about these little things like that, I'm convinced the budget got blown out because of all these dumb little things. They had to pay an ungodly amount of money for these stupid small little moments.
Tiny little cameos.
So much money to Halle Berry because they fucked up the script to like.
Ooh, what if we just gave you more money? How about like half the budget? What if we gave you $100 million to do this movie?
Right, would that fix it? Yeah, and cut out this one huge scene.
So you're saying you don't like that?
I like at the end that the president is suddenly like a fucking ally to mutants. Like, even though a mutant just tore up Alcatraz and killed like so many soldiers.
I was legitimately waiting for the president's eyes to turn yellow.
Like, there's no fucking way.
God damn it, president. Not again.
Right, like winks right to the camera with a yellow eye. Yeah, I was like, this is such a drastic turnaround after, like, no, because to me, it should have been like a, if the president was going to like be friendly with mutants, it would be on like the down low. Like, he talks to like the X-Men and he's like, all right, I'm glad that you guys are here, but also like, look at what you guys just fucking did. Like, this is insane. So I'm like, he's like, oh my God, we love mutants. Yay. Like, what the fuck?
Mutants burned families alive and threw them at other mutants. Like, this, we got to do some PR to cover this up, buddy. We got to do something here.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, watching these movies, like, in conjunction with, like, the fact that X-Men 97 is on right now, it's on Disney, like, on Disney Plus, it's very evident how much better these stories get told when they have time to flesh them out in, like, a TV show.
And the first movie was really good. Yeah. The second movie was tremendous. Like, you can do one-offs pretty well. They had like 1,000 ideas they wanted to do
here. Yeah, they lose their like storytelling ability the more they try to bring things into it and make it like a continuity.
Yeah.
Like they lose focus and they just start going in 4 different directions, and then not each one of those doesn't have the time or the attention that it deserves, and it's just a mess.
But you also have, not that I like him at all, but like Pyro was like a decent part of the second movie in terms of like that light versus dark, the way they played, you know, him and Bobby off each other. He's in this movie, but like he stands by Magneto. He doesn't do much. He doesn't have much.
He lights the cars on fire. That's it.
He lights cars on fire. He's like, I would have killed Professor X for you in the scene we just watched. Like, he says a few things, but he doesn't do a whole lot. And that seems like, if you want to try to carry some of that message, that light versus dark forward that you had been building, that you obviously played off of X2 so well, like, he could be a key component in that. We already know him, and they just have him in this movie and he doesn't do anything. It's just, it like so much other things in this movie, it feels like just a wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously they lead up to like their little like fight too, like because it has to, like, you're talking about fire and ice, like it had to lead to them, like, to them fighting, and it's like such a underwhelming. Like, I do love that Bobby kind of outsmarts him, and I do like that he's like, yeah, because I've learned like strategies from staying in school and how to use my powers. Like, that's great. Grabs his wrist, like, but it's so anticlimactic. It's like one scene, and I'm like, that should have been like them fighting each other for like multiple minutes.
All the other stuff,
like, goes way on. That fucking Storm is fighting that one little woman, like, that amount of time should have been spent on those two fighting. Like, she should have just, like, electrocuted that woman
I didn't think it was funny after she did that, like, her little piercing was glowing.
That was pretty good. Yeah. But that time should have been used on that fight. Like, you know, two characters we actually, like, know. Not one that we just met, don't know the name of, and Storm, who is way, way more powerful.
Well, yeah. we knew you used to be friends. We knew their motivations, one for staying, right. One for going. Like, that could have been a good and powerful scene instead of just them shooting their powers at each other and then one guy grabbing the other guy's wrist and going, "Should have stayed in school," and the fight's over.
Right. Well, and it is a really cool shot when they start the fight, like, because it reminded me of, like, the Civil War shot of Cap and Iron Man,
right?
Like,
yeah,
of them both shooting. Like, it's a beautiful shot. And then I was like, "Oh my god, here we go!" And then it's like they just get closer to each other, and I'm like, then it was. Okay. I was like, "Okay, thanks, thank you."
When even, like, you mentioned the CGI earlier, Aaron, even like the CGI when he's like full Iceman, it's the first time you see him. It looks pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could have looked way better.
Where he finally gets his full form.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it seems like the focus was just not on the right place.
I mean, I think Monty's right. I do think it's like they had like a, we need this big battle. And like, oh, we don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
Right. When there's also the other problem, which I mentioned before, is kind of you've got six against, I don't know, 200, 300, how many do you don't have in a side? And right. So, like, you have this big, huge battle. And I guess you've got the soldiers from the prison firing their weapons, which are kind of taken out relatively early to some extent. But you've got a huge group against a smaller group all fighting in the open. You can't do anything with that.
That's like, the
that
other thing.
Needs to be a different setting.
That's the other thing. There is so many freaking cure darts. In that, like, there's grenades full of them. Come on, that's fucking crazy.
Oh, the ones where they're shooting mortars and they're all just like having points down at them.
Like, how?
Well, imagine, how I wanted to see someone just accidentally step on one, because I'm like, that had to have happened at least 3 or 4 times. They were just
like hypodermic needles at a beach. Like, oh no, my mutant powers.
Right, I have hepatitis now.
The beast is running around with no shoes. Like, there's no way he kept his form, man.
Right.
I also, it's just like one of those, like, where he's like, Magneto takes way too long to get rid of the guns. Like, I understand he thought that he had the power, like, he like, and I love that scene when he like panics when he's like, oh my god,
they're not metal, yeah.
I can't do anything. Like, that was a good scene. I was like, oh my god, this is gonna get interesting. And then he, like, just lets all of these mutants get shot with these little cures, and then like 10 minutes later he's like, hey, Soundwave or whatever the fuck, he's like, get rid of the
weapon. A Transformer.
Yeah,
that's the guy who has the tapes in him that turn out of Jaguars and stuff.
God damn it, Aaron, what movie did you watch?
I don't know. I don't fucking know.
Megan after, Fox was weird after in this
one last night.
And where the hell is Bumblebee Origins during the final battle?
Where's Shia LaBeouf?
Oh man, Bumblebee versus Magneto, like, he's just going to the scrapyard. Just that'd be over real quick.
But, like, he takes so long for her to, like, to tell her to do that. It's like, shouldn't that have been done like 10 minutes ago? And I know why, but it's just like all of these bad plot points just add up to, like, it being like you're pulled out of this movie so much. And
yeah,
I don't mind it every once in a while. Shit happens. Nothing's perfect. Like, very few movies I felt like I've been actually, like, not pulled out of at any point. But, like, there's so many moments like that where it's like, wait, like, why the fuck is this happening? Like, what is going on?
That's the thing. There are so many scenes in this movie. Like, you think for 2 seconds ago, this doesn't make any sense. The motivations here don't make sense.
Right.
The way people are, because again, like, the going to that final battle, I hate to keep harping on this, but Colossus and Wolverine are metal people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's two of the six. They're really easy to take out. And I understand why you can't do that.
Right.
But, you know, like you said, you know that Magneto can sense him.
Yeah.
I'll just throw them against the wall and eliminate those two. And now it's four in the out.
Now it's
the
over. The
fact that, like, that's not even a conversation point when they're flying there. We're like, oh no, every time I've got up against Magneto, he has tried to rip my claws out of my body. Like, right. What are we going to do about this? This sucks. Right.
Again, the fact that we've seen it time after time after time after time, and it's like he just ignores him most of the time. Like, it's, yeah, that's a huge.
Well, I'll get him this time. He's not going to get me again. Right. Oh, nuts. My he metal skeleton.
That he exists.
Damn it. How does he keep doing this?
Oh, my whole body. Oh, the skeleton right. inside of my body. That sucks.
This thing that I've had for 60 years.
And then Colossus, I, you don't think of because he just doesn't turn metal for most of the movie, but like he could easily get thrown as well. That's
right.
That's
yeah. two.
He could be limited to.
He could easily control him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's rough.
I don't have any other notes.
My two final notes are real dumb. One of them is we get a scene fitting. Of the president of the United States saying, "Then God help us," which is always something I love in a movie.
Oh yeah.
That tells you it's going to be real dumb. They do an Independence Day, and that's good. But that throws me
right back to like all the disaster movies, like
yep,
like Armageddon and Dante's Peak, and
yep. Oh, it was a staple. So I always love when it pops up. That's always fun. And my last one, just the dumbest note, is just they should have called the Beast's finishing move toss salad and scrambled eggs. That's that's my final note.
That's incredible.
That's all I got.
That's your best.
Oh man,
ever. That's the best insight you've ever provided on this show. Thank you. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Now it's gonna be stuck in my fucking head all night.
I'm gonna watch some Frasier tonight. Now,
yeah, do
love
it.
That show.
It's love that show.
Top five of my favorite shows.
Yeah,
so good.
You
got any more notes, Aaron? Or are you out?
You out?
I'm good.
You got anything to add to the Frosted Tip conversation? I'm curious. You got anything to add on to this before we sign out?
I'm sending you both my therapy bill for next
week. All right, so then we'll move right along into rating this one. This will probably be interesting. Mm-hmm. Aaron, we'll let you go first.
This is really tough. I really screwed myself by watching Origins Wolverine really tonight.
Did. Yeah, I don't know why you did that.
Like, because I know
you had to,
that but... one's going to be real bad. Because, yeah, my boyfriend's out of town, and I wanted him to watch, like, he wanted to watch it with me. Because we've been watching all of these together. So,
yeah.
Before we recorded next week, we watched it. And that definitely is going to, I don't know if it's going to affect my score that much. Because I think this movie is very, like, below average, but I feel like we've watched worse.
Oh yeah, it's not the worst one we've seen,
right? Because there are some there are some good parts to this. There's because you do have Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart, like that is always going to help your cause. And Hugh Jackman is great as Wolverine again in what he's given. So like the writing is like 50, not even 50-50. I mean, there's some good moments. There's points where I'm like, this could have been good. I see where they were going with certain things, but I think my biggest issue is you got rid of it's way too many characters that we cared about in lieu of people that we don't. And the double storyline of Dark Phoenix going along, because I think this cure thing is such a huge, like this could have been a good movie if it was fleshed out on its own, because I think that is such a controversial, like it's very controversial, and you've got the conflict within them with Rogue wanting to get it, and maybe there's other people that do, you know, and then you've got just the layers of this kid that can cure them, and that story is so good on its own that I think Dark Phoenix ruined it, or that story ruined the Dark Phoenix part of it.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a big part a dramatic arc in the comics too, like the whole entire cure storyline. So yeah.
I think it's a very interesting one, because like we said, I think that if we would have known, I want to know how Wolverine feels about like curing Magneto. If he's conflicted of like I don't want to do this, but I have to, but we don't know that. All they do is look at each other and they do it. And I'm like, I need something that tells me that
I guess I'll rephrase it differently, because it's adapted from in the comic. It's like the issue is like mutant registration, not like curing necessarily. So it's more along the lines of like Civil War with like Sokovia Accord stuff. But like there's an entire like mutant registration act storyline, and they
introduce. I mean, that's introduced like the first scene of the first movie. Like that's been through them. That's not even mentioned here, right?
No,
the cure takes over the whole mutant registration thing,
right? And that's why, like, I just think that there could have been a lot of more, because there's a lot of action in this. You can clearly tell that they were really excited about their big budget with all the CGI and all of that. And I, I rarely say this, but I wish we could have gotten more of the politics, more talking, and more like into the emotions of this climate of this cure and how everyone feels about it, and like the internal conflict with all of them. With that, I just think that would have been really, really good, because this is, like we said, it's very conversion therapy and stuff like that. Like, it's very relevant. And instead, we get like Dark Phoenix thrown in here, and like she's incredibly powerful, and like we said, she just fucking stands around all the time. I feel like there was some optimism. Long story short, too late. But I will say that for a comic book movie, I don't know. I think that one might be like a 5, maybe. Like, it feels like you get the comic book characters. You do need the other two movies to like kind of know what's going on for the most part. But like, it's comic booky. Like, it's you have all of these powers being used. You see so many different superheroes, like, or mutants. Like, it feels like a comic book movie, I guess. But as for like a standalone, it's got to be like a 4, maybe a 3.5.
So you're being way kinder than I am. I'm going to be, I think.
Yeah, I think like 3.5 or 4. Yeah, it probably would have been more like a 2.
It's 100% because you watched
Origins. I'm sure that's why. Because like I said, like, yeah, I can't wait to talk about that one, because that one is that I have so many fucking thoughts on that. But yeah, I'll say like
I can't wait till Dusty gives it an 8. Like the Eternals.
Listen, I know how this is gonna go for me. I was scared of this one for that reason. Yeah. I was like, okay, yeah. No, there's no way Wolverine Origins is gonna be.
Yeah, so we'll say 3.5 if we want to take into account the bias. 3.5. But okay. I do not think it. I was expecting it to be worse, and I think maybe that's also part of it. Was I was expecting it to be worse, but it was exactly like I remembered it. It was very much like, it's. You know, there's some fun fight scenes. There's a couple of moments that are good, but it's meh. It's boring. Not boring, but just confusing.
I'll give it, for a standalone movie, I'll give it a 2. It's incoherent mess. Like, the whole thing is a mess. And I didn't think about this while you were talking, Aaron, because we talked about the Dark Phoenix stuff throughout all of this. They treated Dark Phoenix as if it's merely a character and not a storyline. Like, that's what the crux of it is. Oh, we'll have the Dark Phoenix character. Like, you can't do that without.
It's like, how? Like, why is she there? Who is she? Yeah.
She's too powerful. You can't do that. And so, I mean, that was the main problem. But then even then, with they've added more characters without giving them any character. Like, Kitty Pryde, we've mentioned, that's the third actor in 3 movies. She's got one line in the second movie, right? Like, I think she says something maybe in each of one of the first 2 movies.
I think she screams because the cops burst in and she falls through the bed.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't even know if it's a whole sentence or words. She just screams.
Different actress. And so in this one, they try to give her a character, but they don't really give her a character. And Elliot Page is a good actor.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to do here with that character. Right. They give absolutely nothing here. The Beast is cool. I like the Beast. Mm-hmm. But all the Dark Phoenix stuff, all the stuff with the villains, like pretty much everything, like it jumps around. Again, there's times where like this, the vast majority of the time, doesn't make any sense. I'm noticing now they're flying in the sun and then they arrive and it's dark. I don't know when that happens. Just an absolute mess of movies. So I'm going to 2. And for a comic book movie, I'll be generous and I'll give it a 4. Because it is comic booky. You do get the Danger Room, which is cool. You also get, we did not mention it, like my favorite shot of the movie is in the Danger Room, where you get Wolverine lighting up the cigar as like the big explosion is behind him. Incredible scene. Again, you get Beast, you get comic booky looking things, you get the moving of the bridge, you get, as dumb as it is, you do get that final fight, you get some battles, but it's still just, it's a mess of a movie. And even the comic booky stuff, like it's not comic booky enough. It's not overly comic booky. I don't know.
This movie just doesn't have an identity. Like it's trying to do way too fucking much.
Yeah, I'm giving
all of it poorly.
I'm giving it a 2 as a movie and 3 as a comic movie. The more I think about it, this movie pisses me off. This movie is this movie is so dumb. It's
just wait until fucking next week though.
Yeah, I know. They shoot him in the memories. God. That's all I remember from the movie. They shoot him in the memories, and Gambit is like 180 pounds. Yeah, I remember that. 120 pounds, maybe.
Then, oh fuck, it's Will I Am. No reason.
I forgot Will I Am was in it.
Oh, the worst Southern accent of all time. I'm not going to be any nicer. I'll give this a 2.5 as a standalone movie. Bad writing, like not great character development, like yeah, just it's not very good. And for a comic book movie, I can't really give it anything more than a 3 because, like we already talked about, this all gets retconned anyway. Like, this doesn't mean anything anymore. Like, if you didn't watch this movie and just jumped right into Days of Future Past, like, they fix it. So, like, like we talked about this with earlier movies, they recognized how bad and dumb this was to the point they had to make an entire new trilogy to fix it.
Like, yeah, I haven't seen any of those.
I have not seen any of those,
so I'm very anxious now that you say this of like how this is going to play out. I'm
very excited about that. In comparison, the next three are like, well, the next two are great. Like, First Class, great. Well, Days of Future Past.
Next is Origins. So
right, but I meant like after the next. I meant like in the continuity.
Next, yeah.
Yeah, like Days of Future Past is, I like it more than X2. I know Dusty doesn't.
No.
But it's close. But I like so the next two are really, really good. Okay. So yeah, this is
the plot of Days of Future Past is this movie was bad. Let's fix that movie.
Let's fix X3.
Days of Future
Past. Wow. All right. I'm kind of excited for that one now. Yeah.
So yeah, I'll go 2.5 and 3. And yeah, I'm sure like I always say, like, I'll never pick to watch this movie again. Like, will I watch it again at some point? I don't know. Maybe. Like, I won't. But I'll never pick it to watch.
If I watch this again, someone's going to have to force me or it'll be an accident.
Yeah.
Because I'll watch X2 1,000 times instead.
Like, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. So we are, as we've already talked about, already looking forward to X-Men Origins, which... I will say one thing about X-Men Origins. If you've ever played the video game tie-in, the game is amazing. The movie's ass. But like, the game based on the movie, the PS2 game, is insanely fun. So if you could somehow find that and play it, I recommend it instead of watching the fucking movie.
Agreed. Hard agree.
Yeah. So we'll be back next week with Origins. And until then, we'll talk to you guys next time.